Hi everyone. How can we struggle to tell the truth in church? I mean the whole truth, that loss is the part of our lives. That being lost is not just the experience of those who are not Christian, it's an experience that comes to Christians too. It hits us like this. The explorer Ranulf Fiennes tells of his experience on a polar expedition. We had a map, but it was all white. Or closer to home, what our experience is when we go off route with the sat-nav and the sat-nav whirs as it tries to recalculate our way forward. Disorientation is a word to describe when our lives go off the planned sat-nav route or we're not sure where we are. The disorientation of relationships, careers, of health, of going from strength to strength in faith, it hits us big time personally when we face death and the loss that death brings to us. It affects society hugely in communities or in global events that throw us off the route we thought we were going on. Years ago, I was with other community leaders talking with government ministers about what makes a good community and city and a good society. We got talking about the importance of building opportunity and better communities above all else. Those senior politicians agreed, but then they made an admission. Whatever we decide to do about communities, economic growth must always come first, regardless. This was their crisis of orientation and disorientation. And now, years later, in the face of pandemic and of environmental crisis and challenge, we are being disorientated. And that's why our political and business leaders the world over are struggling so much with this. It's their disorientation. And loss is the experience we have when we are disorientated. And in facing loss, the first option we have is to be honest. It happens. To deny disorientation and loss invites people to feel guilty. When it comes their way, something must be wrong. It must be my fault. Or it invites people to live in denial. We have to keep pretending things are working and okay when they're certainly not. It's worth searching for Linda Paston's poem, The Five Stages of Grief. And as she goes through this, it begins with these words. The night I lost you, someone pointed me towards the five stages of grief. Go that way, they said. It's easy, like learning to climb stairs after the amputation. And so I climbed. Denial was first. It's okay to be honest. It's liberating to be honest. You and I can be honest. Loss happens. The second option for us is to be real. On Tuesday this week, someone slapped President Macron across the face. And psalms of lament, complaint and protest, of which there are about 50 in our Bibles, are a bit like slaps across God's face. Be ready to tell God the way it is. It's okay to eyeball God, to slap God across the face if you like. And these 50-odd psalms have protest, complaint and simple laments. They are something important. They're about being real about life, the life we lead. They tell the truth. And as Jesus tells us in the Bible, you know the truth and the truth will set us free. We know that in our faith, which is based upon the grace of God, more often than not, almost totally, God makes the first move. As the book of James puts it, thinking about love, we love because God first loved us. But that's not always the case. In Jesus' life, he reached out to many people. He initiated much barrier-breaking compassion. But there were repeated occasions when desperate people facing loss didn't wait for Jesus to come to them. They interrupted him. They eyeballed him. They demanded his attention. Those with family members dying, lepers, poor people, the blind. And as Bartimaeus put it to Jesus, Lord, have mercy. which is one of the most short and pithy prayers of loss and lament. And so it's okay to be real with God, to tell God how you and I feel, to give God a verbal slap across the face. In the video, President Macron briefly returned to the barrier after the incident and once again interacted with the crowd. "I continued and I will continue," he told the press. "Nothing will stop me." And if Macron is not put off by a slap, how much more will the God who loves us stick with us when we give it to him as we see it and as we experience it? The next invitation for us is to go on a journey. And this is where our reading, Psalm 13, comes in. Take a look at it. It takes us on a journey of loss and disorientation. In verses 1 and 2, there are a series of questions, raw and rhetorical. "How long, O Lord? Where are you, God?" They grab God's attention. God is simply expected to listen and to take it. They are the voice of someone facing loss. We don't know precisely the situation. It could be being bullied or blamed at work. It could be someone dying. It could be the rawness of that bereavement. It could be getting through real doubt and serious deep questioning. But these questions are a barrage. God's been absent. What are you doing? Where are you? They come and God simply absorbs it. Then in the next two verses, verses 3 and 4, comes request and motivation. God, will you act? Will you answer or consider? And will you lighten me in case my loss finishes me off, lest I die, am overcome by my enemies and ridiculed? I have known that experience. I myself would go through those situations and I wonder what God's going to do. In my disorientation, I put those questions to God. God knows. How long shall I wait? Till hell freezes over? Waiting. And then in that waiting, and the last two voices of the verses of the psalm, a new voice speaks from that person. A new orientation. I've trusted, that's what I've done. And in time I shall rejoice, and I will sing again. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Through that journey, there is a hope that comes. This is the journey through the stages of bereavement, if you like. That journey that takes us beyond denial and may reach something deeper and better in time. Read again Linda Paston's poem. She goes through those stages of denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally acceptance. And the poem concludes thus. Acceptance. I finally reach it. But something is wrong. Grief is a circular staircase. I've lost you. And that's what we discover as going on our loss and our disorientation. We go through with God. We make progress. But at times we have to go through the circle again and re-experience that disorientation as our lives journey in complex ways. Where are you on this journey of loss and disorientation? Let's be honest in our lives and more honest in our churches. Let us tell the whole truth and the truth will set us free. To let that truth be told is the gospel. To deny it is less than the gospel. And the third option is to pray. Many of us have questions about how prayer works and how to pray. But it is so often the case that in times of disorientation, people of great faith and none, people experiencing loss, simply pray and call out to God and batter the Lord's attention. We can pray to God. Let us pray to God, maybe using a psalm to help. Maybe Psalm 13 is a good one to start with. And maybe pray on our own, or alternatives, you pray with someone who will listen with us and trust. Prayer has the power to change situations, to change us, and to change what God does. Yes, you heard me right. Prayer changes what God does. When the theologian Karl Barth wrote about the Lord's Prayer, he put these words: prayer causes God to do things that God would not otherwise do. Prayer causes God to do things that he would not otherwise do. You cannot change God's love and God's will. They are always there and consistent. God is constant. God always moves to be with us, to love us and to save us. But we can change what God does in a particular or specific situation. Prayer gets God's attention and changes what happens. And here is a word of hope. As Christians, we don't believe in immortality. Things going on seamlessly forever. We believe in death and resurrection. Death is real and resurrection comes. We don't have a saviour from afar. We have life and hope from one who is with us. We have Jesus, God with us. In our Good Fridays of loss and our Easter Saturdays of disorientation and waiting, love is stronger than death. Easter Sunday comes. There is a verse in Song of Songs that's often read at funerals. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for your love is strong as death. This holds us through disorientation and loss. This is our hope. God's love is as strong as death. Here is the truth. Whatever we are going through, God has our name tattooed on his arm. You and I are a seal on God's heart. God's love is stronger than death because of what we know to be true in the death and resurrection of Jesus. He journeys with us in our disorientation. He shares that with us. Life and loss and being disorientated are indeed daunting. The hardest part day to day is to keep our perspectives wide and hopeful. And when we're in the middle of trials and challenges each day, to recall and remember that God created the world to be with us and God will never leave us alone. If we live or we die, succeed or fail, win or are ridiculed, we are in Christ. I've had to learn that time and time again. I'm still learning it. This is real. This is the hope for those who lament. Here is the truth that sets the lost free. So, in our disoriented times, individually and in our whole COVID world, you know what the sat-nav does first. When we miss the turning, it frantically tries to turn us back on the same road to go back to when we last left the road. But if we keep going off-piste, it in the end will recalculate a new route to our destination. It will be resourceful. In love, with a seal on God's heart, in Jesus, God staying with us, and the world God has created, we experience loss, but we cry out to God. We go on this journey, and God is responsive to our prayers. God is resourceful and loving, and consistently recalculates a way forward for us. This is our hope. This is the true story. Let's tell the truth to one another. Let's tell the truth to God and find that God will take the slap, will journey with us, and will redeem us in Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection. Amen.